Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. I said he has triumphed gloriously. Amen. The horse and the rider, as he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare for him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. Various chariots and his host are he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O God, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the man of war, his mercy endureth forever and ever. Please take your seats for a few minutes, but don't sit on your hallelujah, and don't sit on your praise. I said, don't sit on your hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. You know, you cannot really say you have known God if you have never known him as the man of war. There are so many descriptions for God, but one of the most profound is that he is a man of war. And I hope you know that he didn't say the God of war, which means that for God to execute his vengeance, when it has to deal with warfare, there is that human side of him, you see, that we must identify with. What do I mean by that human side? That God can be offended. The way a woman who seems to be very gentle, who seems to be to just mind her business, but you touch a child and then you see another side of her. This woman never talks to anybody in the neighborhood, but you touch a child, then you see another side. So we try to give a description of God in that manner that God can be touched, God can be offended, God can seek for justice. Because he declared in the scriptures, he said, for you are the apple of my own eye. God has inscribed your name upon his palm, which means that you are his prized possession. You are his prized possession. You see, you are hearing me this morning, but I want it to come to you as a revelation that you are a prized possession. And he who touches you touched the apple of his own eye. Just the same way you will not open your eyes wide and allow someone put a pencil or try to put a stick or something harmful in your face or in your eye. That is the same way God is commissioned to defend and to protect you. Listen to me, for the 430 years that the Israelites were in Egypt and they were enslaved and they suffered, it was not God's plan for them. It was not God's desire for them to suffer. You see, many times, pain and suffering is the result of sin. Not all the times. Pain and suffering can be the result of sin. Pain and suffering can be the result of disobedience to divine instruction. Pain and sin can be the result of separation from covenant relationships. I have given you three reasons why pain happens. Pain can also be in your life as a training. If God sees that you are not ready to take your ministry serious, he can remove certain benefits from your life. That your phone that you are always browsing and always whatever, the phone will crack and then they will tell you they can't fix it. The part is not in Nigeria and they give you some humongous price. Well, I mean, my friend, you know, got a phone, I think maybe it's a Samsung or Nokia, I don't know. But the phone just, I don't know, the screen just crashed on that 1 week. And then she decided, since my brother bought the phone for me, it will not make sense for me to go to him and say, help me fix the phone. The phone came in from the US. So she took the phone to Computer Village and they gave her a bill of $350,000 for the screen alone. So why didn't you just walk into a store and buy a phone? Why don't you just do an iPhone, all right? Buy an iPhone. Or buy something else. $350,000 for the screen alone. So I said to her, what do you want to do? She said, I have to fix it. I said, well, she is the wife of a general. So somebody can pay, you know. She said, so if you cross me, I need you to know one of my friends is the wife of a brigadier general. And she lives in Maryland here. So you got to be careful. I have both heavenly and physical forces. Amen. So, but she was willing to pay. It was painful. So now I see her when she holds the phone. She holds the phone with two hands. Do you understand that there's a level of importance that God places over? A lot of times we pray and we see God and we ask him for power. We forget that the foundation for power is intimacy and relationship. We forget that God will not bequeath to you something that can wipe out and destroy the lives of people if he cannot guarantee that you are a love creature, you are a love being, and you are someone with restrain. Many times you feel very offended and you want to do something and the Lord will say, hold it. Why? Because with power can come intoxication. However, we are in the days of his own power, which means that God is committed to now doing certain things on the earth because man cannot write God off. God has not given the power to man to write him off because they are the work of his hands. Mankind is, they are the creature, they are the works of his own hands. We can't write him off. So in among the many things that we are able to do, we are not given the power to do away with God. The scriptures say God has kept eternity in the hearts of men so that men will find nothing after him. So many times you are praying and you are seeking for things that are on the outside of you, while the solution is on the inside of you, because God has kept eternity in the heart of man. There is something in the heart of every man that makes him yearn for the invincible, that makes him yearn for the impossible. There's something like, this whole world could not just be organized by the Big Bang evolutionary theory. Boom! And everything started. So if there was a Big Bang, who caused the Big Bang? So a scientist put it this way, that even if God does not exist, we will need to invent one, because the universe is too organized to be a coincidence. Your life, the family you are born into, everything seems to be detailed, prepared. You know, when my dad was alive, he was preparing to go to the Senate. But I can assure you, if my dad made it to Abuja, I will not be a pastor today. Because most likely, I would have gone abroad to study. I'd have been married to an American. You know, I would have American children. I'll talk through my nose. The only thing is that I will wake up sometimes and feel like something is missing. But I will not be able to place it, because I chose a different path. Many of us have chosen certain paths in our journey that guarantees that we will be without power. We have chosen certain paths in our destiny journey that has confirmed that there is nothing you do here, you will never be empowered. Isn't it amazing that Paul met with the Lord on the road of Damascus, and then God put Ananias immediately into his life, and after then God put Barnabas into his life, then later he met John Mark, he met Timothy, he met Silas, he started meeting so many strategic people on his path. Do you know that one of the evidence of God's favor in your life is that he continues to put relevant people in your life? And that when you complain that you have no power, God looks at you and says, your problem is not the absence of power, but the lack of discovery. There are certain people in your space that you do not know how capable these people are until you give them the car key and say, drive. Well, in my journey on, as far as being a pastor is concerned, there are only two people that are allowed to drive me. Pastor Charles and Pastor Ose. All right? And if Pastor Charles is driving, I can't sleep. All right? So, there are some people in your journey. That is how God has willed them to be in your path. Not for you to control them, but for them to take the driver's seat. And many times, what you call, what you say is a disadvantage, is what God calls grace. Because God is not going to empower you beyond your level of accountability. God is not going to empower you, even though we are in the days of power, beyond the level you are willing to be submitted. Because you see, the power that derives from submission has a higher power behind it to compel obedience when there is resistance. Are you with me? So if the Lord puts you on this journey and you happen to be a police officer, if a man resists your authority on the highway, there are layers of authority behind you that can compel obedience. But when you are a lone authority, when you are a lone ranger, once your power structure fails, that is it. Which is why even when you get married, your wife is not just an emotional partner. She is a spiritual support system. So you don't marry because, oh, I have dated her for 8 years. You might be dating the wrong thing. You don't say, oh, like my friend who said, I have to marry her because I don't want people to say after 7 years I now walked away. I said, but you can see that this is not God. He said, God will help us on the way. He's divorced now. The spiritual realm does not recognize emotional decision. In fact, the moment you become emotional, Satan sets a trap for you. You are falling. When many of us grew up in a generation where we are void of discernment, and because many of us do not know that discernment is power, what you begin to ask the ladies, what do you bring to the table? That question, what do you bring to the table, is a reflection of the fact that you are bereft of spiritual understanding. Because when Adam saw his wife, he knew her. Omo. Come on, are you with me now? You know the word know is very intimate. You just know this one can support me. This one can encourage me. This one can tell me we will get to the other side together. This one does not need babysitting. You just see this person, you are meeting her for the first time, and it's as though you can see into her heart. Adam did not need 5 years to know who his wife was. Adam saw and said, this one is a woman. This one is my woman. This one, he had seen many things in that garden, but when he saw this one is my wife. Adam knew many things, but he didn't understand the context of what it means to be someone's wife until he met a particular woman. So sometimes the problem is not that you can't get married, but there is no discovery. The day the Adam sees your Eve, you will get married. Yeah. If the guy is telling you, I need 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, it's still the same problem. He's looking for what you bring to the table. And I am telling you, in the race of destiny, there are no tables. In fact, many times when you talk about tables, you are talking about spiritual warfare. Because he set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He set a table before me. So when you talk about what you bring to the table, what you are asking is, do you have battles in your life? Is there anything I need to know? That's where the conversation of tables comes from. Because that's where it comes in. But you see, there is a divine ability that helps you see someone, and you know, oh, in my business, this person is going to be strategic. So have you ever met people that you wanted to do away with? Because they were bringing, there was too much drama around them. You just wanted to exit quietly. But for some reason, you just kept them around. And then the person now became very useful in your life in the future. I mean, I've had people in my space that I didn't know what to do with them. It was easier for me to just tell them, please go. I'm tired. I am not God. I get tired. So please go. In fact, in some of those conversations, somebody came and reported the person to me. And it was obvious this person, who is also a troubler of my life, is wrong. So it's easier for me to just say, go. Fast forward to 3 years. He is no more there. He is no more there. He is no more there. She is still there. And she is now able to carry the weight of 5 people. Sometimes when you can't ask people to live your life, it's because God is having mercy on you. You don't know something about that person. That's why you think the person is not useful to you. John Mark, Paul said to, he said, the problem Paul had with his father in the Lord was because of John Mark. The young man didn't understand where this relationship was coming from. And you came in like an intruder. You came in and wanted to get a space on the table. And he said, Oga, look, you can't go with us. Because the last time we went out together, you ran away. And because of a young boy, the father and the Lord and the apostle separated. A few years after, Paul would write and he would say, bring John Mark when you are coming. For he is what? He is useful for me in the ministry. You know, sometimes you need to learn how to overlook faults. Are you with me? You need to learn how to overlook faults. She may not be useful today. 3 years from now, you will beg. So just keep that. Don't jam the door. Shut it quietly. Because you may need that door. If you jam it, it gets stuck. So just let mercy. You may think that I just want this person out. You just want to jam the door to show how angry you are. But life doesn't always play by those rules. Somebody that has been brought so much pain to your life may be used by God to bring you so much blessings in the future. Sometimes when we talk about power, we are looking for some kind of Spider-Man effect and an Iron Man, you know, and a Mighty Thor, you know. In those days, in the cartoons, he was referred to as Mighty Thor. But in the movies, they call him Thor. but he was mighty tall. So, and most of them are trying to model the person of Christ. When you watch those, because he has a father that is called Odin or All Father, you know. So they model all this witchcraft into movies for us. And sometimes you can't think of Jesus without imagining all these superheroes, because, you know, God is not bound by time. That's a Flash, you know. And this guy calls himself a Thor, and he has a mighty hammer. And God's word says, "My word not like a hammer." You know, so you can you can find all these characters here and there. They are all copying Jesus. Amen. But you see, together they are still not complete. Amen. Because I searched for the gods of this land and I saw that they were dead. Listen to me. God has the final say over your life. You may be going through hell now, but keep going through. Don't stop. Please tell your neighbor, don't stop. He says, when you walk through the fire, but make sure you are walking through. You feel the fire more when you stand in one spot. God says, when you walk through the water, it will not overflow. Just make sure you are walking through. Don't give up on yourself, because these are the days of power. And listen to me, the day that God chooses to reveal his power in you, the brothers of Joseph will be alive. None of them will die. God will ensure that everybody who told you deserve the pit will be alive to see you in your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to declare, I will not die, but live to declare the glory of the Lord. In Psalm 110, from verse 1. Before we take that, I want us to take Numbers 14 and verse 17. Numbers 14 and verse 17. You see, one of the ways to execute divine power or to release the power of God is to understand the language of heaven. Sometimes the way we pray, they appear very weak. Have you ever seen a lawyer in court who was doing more damage to the case of his client? Have you seen lawyers lose their temper in court? Otigbowo. He collected money. Unfortunately, you know most lawyers know, barrister, some of you don't know she's a lawyer. You say you wonder where the energy is coming from. Yeah, she's a trained lawyer. Amen. Amen. So you can't be a lawyer if you are too gentle. The only gentle lawyer I know is a missionary now, Pastor Wale. He's my friend. He's a missionary. His energy is not for when my friend talks to you, just say, Pastor Gbinga, we need to pray. Pastor Gbinga, I say, I hope you know you're a lawyer. It's like intercess. It's like an intercessor. It's not. It doesn't have the bite. I used to say, sorry, how did you pass law school? Because I don't get it. Put up Numbers 14. I want to show you something. He said, now I beseech thee, let the power of my God be what? Be great. According as thou hast spoken. Hold on here. When you are faced with situation that you know require the move of God's power, I want you to know that if that thing pertains to another man, please remember that God has given us authority over everything except our fellow man. So if you try to exercise undue authority over another man, it's witchcraft. And that's why when they give you an appointment letter, they will tell you to sign. Because after now, we will determine when you come in and when you go out. Sometimes your covenant says Monday to Friday. There might be an emergency. You need to come in on Saturday, Sunday. Is that not so? Aha. There were times in this church some years ago, I'll be in the office as early as 6 a.m. and my boss expects me to be there before him. It's not, my agreement with the bank did not state that I could be in the office on Sundays. But that was the nature of the job. And sometimes I'm calling him because by that time here, praise worship had started. And Pastor David will be calling. Pastor, where are you? I'll say I'm still at Idumota. I was the head of operations for Idumota. So you say, where are you? Say it's time. Now from Idumota, you still need to come out towards Marina Road, then connect express. They'll say that I was coming to church on Sunday and my car did almost 360 on Third Milan because of over speeding. So don't do this at home. Sometimes when you are in the wrong place, you can be attacked. They'll say that I was in the office on Sunday. Service was going on here. The only person that was the security in charge was a lady that liked me. You know, I've never said this story before. I don't know why she's involved in that kind of a job, but she's a security operative for the bank and she's very pretty. And I had gone in to check the servers and everything. I escaped by the whiskers. Because, for something to be a temptation, it must be something you like. Yes, for it to qualify. And I came here that morning. I said, if I climb this altar, thunder will strike me dead. But I still managed to climb. We are not supposed to be in the office on Sunday. When you are dealing with situations that you know involves another man, there is a principle you must put in place. Number one is the principle of beseeching. What is the another word for beseech? I urge you. I appeal. You are making an appeal. Because this matter, I can say to this enemy, in the name of Jesus, be scattered in seven ways. But I cannot say to my fellow man, be scattered in seven ways. Except there is an authority that is backing up what I am about to say. When you are dealing with situations that you know that human beings have become the roadblock to your progress, maybe you are due for promotion and nobody is talking about it. For some reason, they brought in another boss whom you had an issue with 6 months ago, and now you have to report to this person. You know that you are not getting promoted this year. When you have a human intervention, something you cannot control, you must understand the language of the courtroom, which is that first you must make an appeal. Please, if you are in this boat now, I want you to note what I'm saying. Some of you are not even aware that you actually need to make a strong appeal, because the scripture teaches us. Maybe we should take another series on the court of heaven, because I think maybe we need to remind ourselves of certain things. What many of you do not know is that it may be your right, but you can be denied. Go home. Go and look at your dad. For those of you that, if you are brothers, go home, look at your dad. At what point in his life did he almost get a breakthrough? Or at what age did he begin to get a breakthrough? Let me tell you, there are patterns everywhere. You just don't know where to look. Take your knife, split an orange into two. Look at that orange. You will see a circular pattern. Take your knife, cut into an apple. You will see that it has its own unique set of patterns. There are patterns everywhere in your family, your bloodline, your office. I prayed for a pastor who worked for a very big tech company, telecoms company. Like when he got the job, I was one of those who celebrated. Because I knew that by the time I'm ready to work, he would have become a big manager. He would be able to help me. But this was years after. I was praying for him. And he told me, he said, in this company, you may not even get promoted, but you can't leave. Say if you try to leave, all kind of strange things starts happening to you. I'm talking about one of the big four telecom firms. So you just see their adverts and you say, their internet is fast. Is happy customer, unhappy staff. That's what they do there. So this pastor was talking to me and said, please, you need to pray with me, pray with me, pray with me. So we were praying, we were praying. And then I started seeing, we started drawing some patterns. And I'm asking you now, even because sometimes many of us do not know we need to make an appeal. Because we are not even aware of the conditions that surround the law of breakthrough in our family. That there are conditions for which the person in the next compound may not be subject to, but you are subject to it. You just notice that, okay. My sister got married, she was 33. The other one got married 34. Some, if they don't hit 37, nothing happens. This one add this. Okay, leave your sisters alone. Look at your parents. And let me tell you, parents are very smart, including you. I say including you. There are things about your life you will never want your children to know. Because your expectation is that you want to give them a better life. But you see, what you are hiding from them is where the real foundation of that problem is. If your dad is a quiet person, you've always seen him as a quiet person. Now, can I ask you, is it actually being quiet or laid back? Because now you are also demonstrating certain tendencies. You are looking like someone that likes to take his time. You are not even thinking that you picked up a pattern somewhere. Haven't you seen young men who are bald-headed? Or you can see the airline already telling you that once you marry him, in 5 years, this guy will be bald-headed. Go and check his father. Patterns are everywhere. When you see something that involves bloodlines or something that can be traced to another man, the first thing you must understand is the law of appeal. Are you with me? And what is the scripture teaching us? It says, come with your strong reasons. So the problem here is not that you don't have reasons. I think everybody wants to be free. Why? How does your freedom benefit God? Because when we talk about strong reasons, now let's talk about SEO, search engine optimization. You put in certain keywords, and if you have some softwares, they will tell you how optimized that keyword is. They will tell you this keyword has been used 1.2 million times, is very high. If you put in another, for instance, if you go on YouTube and put the word, let's say pornography, you may not really see anything. Because YouTube is a business. They are not there for you. You want to win everybody to Christ. They are there for their own business. And I remembered on Tuesday, some weeks ago, I was talking to you about Pastor David. I will put up a video on YouTube. The video had, over 86,000 views. But YouTube got in touch with him and said, we can't pay you. That thing was supposed to be $2,500. They say, why? Because you are talking about the danger of spiritual husband. That video was on spiritual spouses. YouTube said, Oga, we are here to make money. You are the one that knows the mission you say God gave you. Our advertisers say they cannot put their advert on this type of video. So who are these advertisers? You think YouTube is... One pastor announced last week that he's going to stop live streaming in his church. People are shouting, hey, you too, go to your own church now. Is it by force? Maybe there's a church next to your house. You can go there. Why are you angry? Because, listen to me, he who plays the piper, we dictate the tune. If there is a foundation for certain delays in the bloodline, you can shout and do anything. That door will not open except you make an appeal. Put up that scripture. He said, now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great. What are you saying to God? Move without restraint. Exercise your dominion. This life will count for you. Sometimes I notice that some of the children that come into the world with prophecy, they normally go through a lot of challenges. you give birth to a child, you've not even done this naming ceremony, a prophet to come and say, the Lord told me there's a new child here. There's one boy in Akure, then I heard this from one of God's servants. The boy's name is Irawo. I told that story here before. Irawo. Irawo in Yoruba language means star. When the boy was giving birth to, witch doctors came. Abalists came. White garment prophets came. And they bowed down before the boy. You know, just because he's the devil doesn't mean they can't see some things. These people came, met at the boy's house. They said they traced his star, that this one will rule in this nation. And they bowed down. The parents were very poor people in Akure. They bowed down to the boy. They didn't say the boy was a wizard, though. They said they saw a star. I hope you know you have a star. You should be concerned about what we are doing with that star. Maybe they are even using it to eat shawarma in heaven or something. You need to be concerned. Because the moment, as long as your star looks like it's shining, spirits will be interested in you. Spirits will be interested in your life. They came to this boy's house, they prostrated and they prayed and they did everything. And they told the mom, watch him. This one is great. Irawo grew up and was very good in maths and sciences, extremely sharp. But you know the devil. The devil was waiting. And let me tell you, the devil normally knocks on a day that you are just planning to take a break. It doesn't come when you are hot and on fire. It will wait till when you have eaten that apple and you've losing the bands of your belt. You want to relax. That's when it comes. Irawo was in school. Then he had an accident. I think that school was... is it Aquinas? It's a popular school. Either Aquinas or Yemeku Grammar School. Popular schools in Ondo State. The boy, I think he fell into a ditch. And he never came out. When they got his body, he was dead. Warfare always follows prophecy. The moment you walk into places and they are always hearing God, people, God is always speaking to people. You cannot afford not to have a prayer life. You cannot afford it. All these delays, I say, go and look at your parents. Sit them down and ask them questions. Mama, when did you get married? What circumstance, under what circumstance did you get married? Some of you, your parents got pregnant, then they are married. So for myself, I've taken my time to look at a few things, and I made some observations. And I know that I am in that age where I need to be very, very prayerful, because I made some observations about my family. You can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. He said, I beseech you. Put up that scripture. Now let me say this. When you are appealing to the court, that suggests that a lower court has already given a ruling before that day, and you are found guilty. In the spiritual realm, you are not guilty because you actually committed the crime. You are guilty because your bloodline was judged. So let's assume that your mom, somebody's mom died at say 48, 49, 50, and then maybe your dad had to raise you. If you are a lady in that house, you must mark that region and pray into it. Because you may not really know what accounted for that death, but we know the death was premature. So you must not gamble. If your mom or your dad seems to be doing well, but their marriage became very challenging, don't just say it's their marriage. My sister, take time, my brother, and look at that thing very critically. As long as you are blinded by emotions, you will never be free. As long as you can look at yourself and say, we have a problem here. Aha. There will be a way out. The life of Jesus is like the life of Moses. Moses was born in a time when there was a ruling, a proclamation, that children should be killed. Right? He was born there. The mom went to hide him. When Jesus was born, the angel also came to Joseph. Take him back to Egypt. Like Moses, like Jesus. Open your eyes. Let the Lord open your eyes. There are patterns everywhere. There are patterns that once you see 1, 2, 3, you want, okay, this thing is actually here. Don't feel bad, because everybody has their own issues. But what it means is that you can begin to now understand what will be the requirement of heaven in dealing with this thing once and for all. A lot of us are naive. So before you make an appeal, you must give consideration to the ruling that was made. That, okay, there was the High Court gave a ruling along this line, but we want to appeal it on this ground. You don't come into the appeal court carelessly. You don't come into the appeal court with the same evidence and argument you came with that made you lose the first ruling, the first case in court. I remember when I was diagnosed with hepatitis, and, you know, even though I had a prophecy, I was dying. You know, and I've shared that story here severally. When the Lord said to me, your covenant with death has been abolished. But I still fell sick. And the doctor still told my mom that there was no cure, that I was going to die. And I remembered that while I was on that hospital bed, I said to the Lord, if you save me, I will save you. That's covenant. Huh? But you know me, I also forgot what I said. Because by the time things started becoming good for me, I did not remember that I now belong to a deity. I forgot. I was not in sin, no. I was coming to church, oh, but I forgot. But God didn't forget that I promised him that I would serve him. I mean, every Christian is supposed to serve God now. Is this supposed to be a big deal? It's not a big deal now. Are you not supposed to serve God? But this one is a different kind of serving. Until my 12th year in the bank. The 10th year. I left 2 years after. The Lord said, you made me a promise. I said, that was my final year in university. He said, yes, you forgot, I did not. So now, we now need you. I said, He said, let me tell you. The way to break a lower covenant is to enter into a higher one. Yes. The heavens must have a reason to preserve you. They are not going to preserve you. So you'll be going about and say, nothing do you, nothing do you. Is that why you want to leave? No. Die. Come home. We have a space for you here. Come home. You that you promised us that you will serve God. You are not the one going online saying, I cannot marry a pastor. You. It sounds funny. But I'm telling you how to break patterns. Sometimes you pray, sometimes you fast. But other times you need to attach a covenant. Because God says, bring forth your strong reason. Lord, from today, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you take your life and you put it on the table like this, and then you walk away from it. This point I just made to you is very significant when you are making an appeal in the court of heaven. If, for instance, you never had a real relationship with your father, the Church of Jesus Christ now becomes your final option. Which means others may come to church and share the grace and go. You cannot. Huh? It's even helpful for you to go to your pastor and say, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, or my father died before but you now, this is my name, this is my number, this is my house address, you are now my father, take. Bye-bye. I see you on Sunday. Because the pastor may not know that you have a peculiar need. And that makes it, if for instance, I had that conversation with you and I saw you in church throwing a tantrum, I will give certain consideration to the fact that there might be a reason why this is happening, which may not be the general reason why people throw tantrums. So I'll be patient with you. And I can hold your hand and walk with you. Because there is something about, apart from covenant, there is also something you need to know. That inheritance only resides in families. Are you with me? Inheritance only resides in families. No matter if you are the best friend of the celebrant, when the father of the house dies, only the children will be in the room when the will is being read. If you heard if you heard the story of someone like myself telling you that hepatitis is easy to say, go and Google hepatitis. It is still a problem even today. A, B, or C. You don't want any one of them. Because they are variants. Many times it's not that we are not praying. Many times it's not that we are not genuine. But we do not understand how the spiritual realm works. And the spiritual realm is a very legalistic realm. When you come before the heavens, they will look at the laws you have flouted. They will look at the things you did right. You see, in the spiritual realm, there is grace and there is works. A woman came to Jesus, or Jesus came to a woman, or there was a coming somewhere anyway, by the well. And Jesus asked the woman one question. Where is your husband? And the woman said, I have no husband. But somewhere at home there was, nothing do you, nothing do you. There's one brother, Timothy, in the house waiting for the woman who went to get water that will pound yam. They will use it to pound yam. Then Jesus asked her, he said, but Jesus mentioned, I said, how many husbands? He said, thou hast had, is it five or six? Five. He said, and even the one, so those five are the history. This one is the present revelation. He said, even the one with you now. What Jesus was saying is that she was not properly married. But in the spiritual realm, Jesus said she was actually married. Because in the spiritual realm, sex is marriage. That 5-10 minutes experience will be counted, your soul, oh goodness. Today, this morning, I actually wanted to teach on breaking soul tie. But I could not, I'm not sure if we are ready to hear that, but we'll come around. Maybe during this prayer and fasting. Because the Lord assured me that this soul tie is at the root. You see, it's not, sometimes it's easy to just say, pray for deliverance. Do you know exactly what? Do you know if this thing is antibiotic? Or do you know what I say? Lumifantrine. Lumifantrine. These people, I don't know. Just give it a simple name. But you must humble yourself. They want you to be humble. So they will give it a name that is complicated. Atemital Lumifantrine. So if what is wrong with you, we may be having the same problem, but the root cause may be different. So if you really want to deal with a spiritual problem, you must find the root cause. Are you with me? You must find the root cause. We both have the same problem, but the root cause is not the same. Let me tell you what happens to soul tie, and this is what many of you do not know. That's why some of you say you broke up with that guy, but you still think about him every day. Where are you? Are you in the house today? You still think about him, even though you are angry at him. Wave your hand to me, oh, the Lord bless you. So let me tell you, two things can happen to you. Number one, you must avoid that guy. Because even if you say the thing is over, if he sees you and just holds your hand and say, let's have lunch, You see that hand he has held, you are in trouble. Because there's history around that, that person. So you don't let him touch you. Just, my pastor said you should be, stay 6 feet and be talking from there. I can hear you. Give me this time. Because if he looks into your eyes, you are gone. You see all these places, they are gateways into the soul. Your eyes, your ears, utterances, touch. I didn't do well, for those of you that are married, sometimes you are so let me not say this one. Sometimes you are so angry. Eh? You are so angry. Then wife just come, just hold your hand. Like it's just like cold water, you know. Or she just come and gives you a hug, like, ah, you chance me. You know, there's just something about touch that penetrates your soul. Let me tell you what the spiritual realm recognizes. If God's power is in a relationship with Yvonne and they had been living sinfully, every time they went into that act, look at, just imagine, just use your mind now. It's like I take off my shirt and I give it to her. She takes off her shoes. She hands it over to me. I leave that bed with a part of her. She leaves that bed with a part of me. So if that relationship lasted 3 years, so I don't know how you want to calculate it, but I want you to imagine how many things God's power walked away with. And these are destiny items. These are spiritual items. Then they break up. Yvonne comes to me. I now begin to wonder that, why is she always having a fit? If we are talking, she gets angry easily. Okay, I didn't know that God's power had power. You know, so I didn't meet God's power. God's power had the divine power. You, your own name, you are named from the shrine at somewhere in Benin City. So my own power is even lesser than, so his own is God's power, you know. I now run into her. Then we also continue to commit sin. And every time, it is always what is considered precious at that moment that will be exchanged. That's where spiritual realm works. And you will not be the one to choose what was taken. So you walk away. So you may notice that sometimes you start doing well. Because soul tie is a thief. It takes what it does not have. You may begin to do well. Sometimes you may begin to have problems at the office. Go and check that guy. Maybe it's also someone that has problems in his life. You will begin to see similar manifestation. This issue of intimacy is an exchange of destinies and soul items. It's why people can live together for 15 years. People say, oh, they look alike. There has been an exchange back to back, back to back, back to back. You are the one who calls it sex. God calls it soul tie. Which means if at the end of the day, I have been involved with 6, 7 of them, my soul has been shared across those 6 people. And then when you finally get to the stage where your destiny will count, you are empty. You are suddenly empty. You are like a shell. People like, you look like you can do this thing. The battery is dead. There's no charger. Wasted. So if you find yourself in that kind of a case, you cannot just come and begin to say, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. No, you must make an appeal. These are some of the nitty-gritty, because some people will say, I fasted 30 days. Oh, God, slow down. You went on hunger strike. I am telling you that there are things we need to consider before we begin to look at the matter of prayer. Are you still here? So when we come for our second service, we will pray. But I want you to even take your pen and make a mental note. Because your history must agree with your prophecy for you to be free. Or your prophecy must override your painful history for you to be free. But as long as there is historical record on why you cannot be free, Satan will lay claim to you. And that is why the first thing that the blood of Jesus does when it comes, when a man comes to Jesus, is the blood will cleanse that man, wash away his past. If your father is a police officer, and for whatever reason is among the those who are having to stay on the express, that's where he was stationed. I have not said anything. You are the one that, if your father was stationed and you suspect that maybe he comes home with money, when he left in the morning, he said he did not have any money, but when he came back, he was counting 200 notes, and he had a rubber band. There was a sharing of money somewhere. Or sometimes they go to Mami Market. There's somewhere we call Mami Market where we go and eat. And he's always happy in the evening. You notice your father is always happy in the evening. And now, you are working in a bank. And anytime there seems to be a money problem, money is missing, something is happening, it's always, you are always in the middle of that transaction. My brother, that story did not start with you. Somebody reported someone to me recently and said, he's becoming very money conscious. He only likes to talk about money. Any, if he doesn't talk to you, but once he sees money, he begins to smile. I now say, I think his dad used to be a police officer. I just remembered. Now, this is not to suggest, because we're having a police officer, he's coming here very soon. The only police officer that is my friend. And he's an apostle. Amen. So, he's coming here to preach very soon. He's the only police officer I love in this whole world. Even when I was working in the bank, if you're a police officer, I'll tell you to go and queue. Because when I come to your own shop, you will tell me to queue. This is not to say that every police officer is bad. I'm just telling you that sometimes we are blinded by emotion because of the things we know about our background. And those things are now what Satan uses to hide our deliverance. So today, the veil is taken off. As we prepare for our fasting and prayer starting July 6th, I want you to get spiritually ready, emotionally ready, physically ready. Because the Lord will do great things amongst us. Some of you will pray like you have never prayed before. Don't worry, you don't know what I'm talking about yet. Eh? That day, it will be this July. We'll find one Saturday, we will come. All of us will come to church. And once we enter, we'll lock the door with a padlock. That's the restroom over there. That's my office. Remove all the chairs. Don't be afraid. You will leave that place a better person. Amen. We are in the days of his power. But you see, the days of power is not without knowledge. It's not without knowledge. I've given you some key points to how to make an appeal. Let me add one final one. The most valuable ingredient The most valuable instrument for making an appeal in the realm of the spirit is the blood of Jesus. The scripture says, through the blood of the Holy Covenant shall what? Souls be released out of the pit. Through the blood of your Holy Covenant. Speaking about the blood of Jesus. say, through the blood of the Holy Covenant shall souls be released from the pit. So some will tell you we do not plead the blood of Jesus, and you are right. Some will tell you it's not in the Bible that we should not plead the blood of Jesus. They are also right. However, there are layers of warfare you will face, where as you shout in Jesus' name, you will see the evil coming towards you more and more. More and more. I bind you. It will come again. Close me. Then you will now realize that the only reason why prayer works is because of the mercy of God, which is encapsulated in the blood of Jesus. That every time you pray on earth, what Jesus does as the high priest is to sit in the holiest of all and administer blood. That man is very busy. Know you have been praying. Jesus appeared to me. You are wasting his time because the man is very busy. Can you imagine that since he rose up from the dead, he is in the holiest of all? The same work the high priest used to do when he enters the holy. That's what Jesus does. And what is he administering? Mercy. That's why that place is called the mercy seat. Oh. When Satan tells you are not qualified, you say, yes, I know. But let's go to the mercy seat. Let's go there. Don't tell me my story. I know what I did. I know I had an abortion 10 years ago. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. However, are you done? Okay, I want to go to the mercy seat. That's where destinies are changed. That's where stories are rewritten. That is where the law is set aside. So when you come, as we start this fasting, when you come, I'm not living here. You said come boldly. You knew my story, but you said come boldly. You knew every time I decided to serve you, I failed. You still said come boldly. You didn't give that privilege to Satan. So I'm coming. And as you are coming, don't come empty. You come with praise. Say, so we come to the secret place. As we enter, rise up on your feet. Let's pray.